Gal Pals Watch. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Alicia.
We're here to talk about All About E. Ooh. Well, this podcast is about queer women in movies.
Yeah, we're not just talking about this one movie.
No, forever. We didn't make an entire podcast about one movie. I mean, just one episode, but not an entire series.
I wonder if you could do that. I'm sure someone has made an entire podcast about one movie.
Probably. I mean, I used to listen to this Orphan Black podcast. Shout out to the Finalysis Podcast Network. They are the most entertaining podcast hosts in the history of the world. They made this really awesome Orphan Black podcast called Tatiana is Everyone. And it was so entertaining. And I mean, that's a TV show, so obviously it was like episode for episode. But you could really get into some details, some nitty-gritty.
Yeah, that makes sense. That would be good for
a TV show. Yeah. There's a lot of podcasts that do TV shows.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But we anyway, do, but we do movies.
And we do one movie per episode.
Yep. So get used to it. Oh, you're already listening. You're used to it. All right. So this one, All About E. It was released in 2015, I believe?
I believe so. I did not write it down.
Okay. Director is Louise Wadley. I would assume that is how it's said.
And starring Mandala Rose. Speaking of Orphan Black, she looks exactly like Tatiana Maslany, except she's from New Zealand.
Oh, so she has a New Zealand accent. From New Zealand. Okay.
Yeah, I actually met her at Klexicon, like... Aww. Probably like six different times. She was really cool. I'm a big fan.
What else has she been in, do you know?
She's been in a lot. She hasn't been in like anything super mainstream, but I know she's got a few movies coming out, and this is the only thing I've actually seen her in, but she was in something else that I forgot now. But it's like really hard to get. I couldn't find it anywhere on the internet. So
this film.
The other thing she's in, I forgot what it was.
Yeah, I was like, I found this pretty
easy. No, this one's easy.
This was on Amazon, by the way.
Used to be on Netflix, but they were dumb and took it off.
Yeah, dumb. Yeah, I remember I texted you and I was like, I was just going to look it up. And what the hell, now I have to pay money?
I watched it on Netflix the first time.
Like, I'm not paying money to watch it on Netflix anyway.
I know,
whatever.
Right? You pay Netflix. We all pay Netflix.
And then it's also starring Julia Billington.
She plays Trish.
Trish, yeah. Yes.
And then who plays Matt?
A man.
Yeah. We really don't care about the men, do we? I do care about Matt, though.
I do, too.
He's pretty cool.
This is becoming an issue.
I know. We, like, really don't pay attention to the men at all.
Uh-oh.
Whoops. Anyways, Matt's
Sorry,
cool.
Question mark?
Matt is just Matt, the character.
Yes. This movie opens up with a quote. It says, many are the roads that do not lead to the heart.
Yeah, which I was like trying to think about that one, but then I got distracted by the makeout scene that was immediately afterwards, the opening scene.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think maybe it means that, like, that people can be easily distracted on their path to love.
Ooh.
I have no idea. I'm just pulling.
Many roads. Not leading to the heart.
Yeah. Said it's an Arabic proverb.
Yeah. I thought that was, it is
interesting. Well, I mean, her heritage is Arabic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, in that sense, it makes sense.
Yeah. And her mom says it later on in the...
She says that exact quote?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I watched this movie twice and I missed that both times, so anyway.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure she says that. I'm not sure, like, in terms of this movie, I can kind of see what they meant, because in a roundabout way, E and Trish find love again.
Yeah.
But also, there are lots of roads.
Yeah, like literal roads.
Literal roads.
Yeah. It's a road movie, sort of.
Yeah.
A little bit.
It's like a little bit of a road trip.
Yeah.
But you were saying girls making out in the bathroom immediately after. We see this, like...
This proverb, just this quote on the screen, and then...
Then and some hot lesbo action.
It's pretty good, I would say. I would say that this movie, generally, does a really good job with, like, just lesbian content in general.
Good.
Yeah. I was a big fan of that first scene. Big fan of some other scenes that come later.
I was not a big fan of that scene.
Really?
Because,
Tell me why.
Okay. Because, first off, they're in a bathroom stall.
Oh, yeah.
And they're making a bunch of other women wait. How anti-fucking-feminist is that?
That's true.
Like, lines are already long enough in a woman's bathroom.
I was thinking purely the aesthetic of, like, the two of them together. Not in a bathroom, but just, like, they were both hot.
But I was also confused about why, who we figure out is E, why she was in a, like, conquistador.
Oh, it was like, because Johnny.
No, I know, but, like, you don't know that, like...
Oh, right, you don't know that.
You're like, just like, there's some woman as
like,
a
bull... Yeah, you're just like, why is she dressed like that?
Dressed like a bullfighter, and you're like, okay.
She looked good in it, though.
Also, there was one part... Oh, yeah, she looks awesome.
She looks amazing all the time. I loved all of her clothes. Even yes, that. She looks great. Which is not something she even wanted to be wearing, but she looked great in it.
Oh, she looked so cute. There was one part, though, right after that. So she's being called out to DJ in a club.
Yeah, she's like a famous... Well... Sort of famous. Yeah. She's getting famous.
Yeah, I would say, yeah.
She's been, like, the resident DJ at this club for a while, and people are really into her.
Yeah, there's a ton of people on the dance floor, and they're, like, really waiting for her and getting
hyped. Yeah,
looks
like a fun show, lots of drag queens, and, like, she's, like, the DJ with all the drag queens. I don't know.
Cool. Definitely people are getting hyped by
her. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
They're, like, E. Yeah. Because she's just fucking some girl in the bathroom. She's not coming out.
Exactly. And at
but
one
even
point,
the people in the bathroom line are, like, cheering them on. It's pretty funny.
And I think at one point, like, they count down, like, for her to have 20 seconds. And I don't know if it's just, like, the magic of movies and, like, getting out of, like, space and time. But basically, in 20 minutes, 20 seconds, sorry, she... has sex with this girl, gets her off, and gets to go on stage. Like, that's just impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
I think it's just the way it was cut.
I think it is, but
I think it's implied that, like, they were in there for longer than 20 seconds.
I would fucking hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She also made the other girl fall in love with her just by doing that.
Oh, yes.
The girl in the bathroom.
Yes, the girl
whoever
in the bathroom.
That was. Do we ever find out her name?
I forget. But she
comes back.
Yeah, that's a very Shane move.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's being very Shane. It's true.
My next note is that the skeezy club owner.
Yeah.
What is his name? I forgot.
Johnny?
Johnny, yes.
I fucking hate that dude.
He's super handsy.
Yeah.
I could have done
and
without him.
And he calls himself Uncle Johnny, and I was like, is he her real uncle? Because
no, I don't think so.
I didn't think so either, but then there were something about it made me think, like, but it can't be.
No, I
can't
really
be
don't.
Her uncle because her parents like don't know who he is.
No, I don't think. I think it's like just one of those chosen family kind of
titles. Why would you choose them?
Because he's a creepy uncle.
He makes me want to throw up.
Yeah, I really
from the second I see him.
Yeah, I really don't like him. And he plays.
He keeps calling her Towelhead. He keeps using the word Towelhead, which is like really fucked up.
Yeah. I really could have done without him in this entire film. I don't like the role he plays. I don't like... But the whole friggin' part kind of, like, hinges on him.
I know, so which kind of sucks.
I
And it doesn't even make sense because where'd all that money even come from? What's this deal that he did that he had a suitcase full of cash?
I have to be honest, I didn't like this movie.
Okay, this is exactly how I felt the first time I watched it. I was like, why do people like... This movie's terrible. Like, the only thing I like is that I kind of really have a crush on Mandala Rose now. But, like, the second time I watched it, I actually appreciated it more. And I think it's because I knew that the plot itself was utterly ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So I think going into it the second time, I was like, okay, I'm just going to focus on E and Matt and Trish. And just, like, enjoy them.
Forget Johnny.
Yeah. And, yeah, I also, like, clicked away to different tabs when Johnny was, like, around. I was like, I don't care.
Forget that guy. So I realized, I was like, oh, this looks really familiar to me. And then I realized that I had watched it, like, I don't know when I watched it. Probably whenever it was on Netflix.
Oh, so you had watched it before?
Only a quarter of it.
Oh, really? Because you hated
it
so much you
shut
it off? That's so funny.
I was just like, eh. And usually, like, I am one of those people, and it's why I'm doing this podcast, like, I will eat up
Yeah.
Lesbian content, TM.
Yeah.
Like, all the time. But for some reason, I'm glad I watched the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were parts of it that I did really like and I did enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that...
Overall, it's a pretty redonk movie.
Yeah, and the whole relationship between E and Johnny, like, really irritates me because
I hate that part.
It doesn't seem to be, like, totally, like, fixed in the end. It seems to be kind of open and, like, E still kind of likes him.
In the end?
Isn't it?
I don't think so. I think she, like...
But for a while there, I guess. Oh, yeah, because she leaves him.
Yeah. Okay. She leaves him literally in the dust of a plane.
Yeah.
And
but for a while there, it's like
she defends him. Like, yeah, she does. And she just ignores his calls without telling Matt that he's calling. And, like, it's weird.
Yeah.
And
maybe
she, like, lets him do all this stuff. Like, she doesn't stand up to him ever.
Maybe if we knew more about their relationship and, like, how they became so close.
Right. Well,
I would understand
because
it.
Because I also was really confused as to how E ended up. Even because I wasn't paying that close attention the first time I watched it, even like DJing after being this like really amazing clarinetist.
They don't really tell us.
Well, they do kind of through the flashbacks with Trish. So there's something vague about how E can't pass her exams, which doesn't make any sense to me because she's obviously an amazing musician.
Yeah.
And then she like. I think she's just kind of talented at being a DJ, and so she kind of tries to pursue that, I think. And that upsets Trish, because she knows how much E loves playing the clarinet and how good she is at it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think E just kind of gets excited that this guy wants her to be the resident DJ at this club, and she can make a bunch of money doing it and, like, get really popular, and she's really excited about it. And... that's one of the things that bothers Trish, even though the main thing is just that E won't come out to her parents.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's that's a huge part of this film.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's something that one of the parts that I did enjoy and I could relate with and whatnot. I don't know. It's just...
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing of coming out to the parents... There's so many plot holes. I actually wrote that. That's one of the first things I wrote down. Like, this movie is full of plot holes. But, yeah, like, even the whole thing, we'll get to that at the end.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Trish, when you first get to know, like, Trish and E as a couple, it's through flashbacks.
Yeah.
And they're really sweet flashbacks, I think. I think they have great chemistry together, those two actors. And, like,
absolutely. They're very cute.
They're really sweet. And, yeah, so, like, E's parents are super overbearing. They're, like, the most awful. just constantly telling her that she's shaming them and, you know, to the point where it actually doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. And I remember E saying at one point,
because it's like not because she's gay. It's because she dropped out of school or whatever. But, like, her brother apparently steals cars. Like, that was a totally random thing.
And
that
that's
just...
the thing. That's what I was just about to say, is that, like, you clearly have this person in the family that has done, like, legit criminal activity as opposed to just dropping out of school.
Right.
Though it also seems like maybe that brother is now dead.
Oh. Yeah, you're right. Because they have a shrine to him.
She does have a brother that died. And
you're right.
It's that
I forgot
guy.
About that.
But
you're right.
So it's like...
So that's probably... They're, like, kind of...
Overbearing because of that.
Right.
But I'm sure also in their culture, it's like...
Yeah.
I know. Sometimes... Well, really. Yeah. I don't know. But...
Well, no, but...
they can be, like, like, Middle Eastern cultures can be hard on females.
Oh, for sure.
And I'm sure someone as... talented as E, her parents are pissed that they, that she is kind of, you know, seemingly throwing her talent down the drain.
And I mean, her mom does obviously suspect something with her sexuality because she's like talking about how she shouldn't wear her hair short and the way she dresses and stuff. And it's funny because, so E is, we haven't really established who E is. And so E and Matt are, like, best friends. Matt's a gay guy, Irish gay guy. and E is Australian, New Zealand, whatever. Mm. But like Arabic heritage. And this takes place in Australia, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Matt is also her manager, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Because I don't know. Anyway, I like Matt. He's a redhead. He's cute. And they kind of have this. They're not really married, are they?
No.
No, I don't but think they like are. They tell the parents that they're engaged or something like that.
Yeah, I think they tell them that they are.
Yeah, so married. They have kind of like this marriage of convenience type of thing since they're both gay, even though we don't know anything about Matt's family.
Yeah.
But they're at this club where E is the resident DJ and Johnny's the club manager and he's a total creep. And she has landed this other gig at a different place called Ice, where
she gets to do her Arab night.
Right. She wanted to do this like Arabian Nights themed thing, and he's putting her in like Spanish costumes because he's a racist fuckwad. And he's like, oh, your skin's kind of brown. Like, let's make you Spanish.
Instead, and she brings him these plans, and they're all, like, really well thought out. And she's like, I could do this, 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 and that. And he's like, no, that's not what the people want.
Right.
So she's super unfulfilled. So she goes to a place where she can.
But then he calls the other place and is like, she can't do it, and cancels.
That Johnny does?
Yeah, Johnny does. Because he wants her to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, racist, misogynist, fuckwad.
Yeah, it's so, weird.
I don't know. They somehow end up... Johnny has some kind of shady thing going on with some beefy dudes that involves a lot of money. He has this whole duffel bag full of money that he's supposed to get. Somehow so it money. Ends up in the same cab as E when she's on her way home. She... I guess, gets it into her apartment somehow. This is not explained at all.
It's just like, it looks like a switcheroo, essentially. Yeah. She grabbed the wrong bag.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah. And so Matt comes over. It's his birthday. She's hungover. She's still asleep. He wakes her up. He's like, come on, we're going to go to Disney for my birthday. She's a terrible friend. She really is a bad friend, like, throughout this entire thing. She's a really bad friend to him. And then he's like, she's like, okay, I'm going to get in the shower. And he opens this bag and finds a bunch of money, and she's just immediately like, cool, like, let's keep this money. And he's like, no, we have to go to the police. And she's like, yeah, no, what the hell? And so
part of me was like questioning it, because I'm like, who would ever do something like that? Who would just, like, with that much money, like, it is a,
it's ridiculous, it's too, because they don't even need the money, or like, they don't even do anything with it except donate some to like the Girl Scouts.
The Australian Girl Scouts.
Oh my god, they just carry it with them everywhere.
Yeah, and it's just super strange, because I'm like, okay, well, I'm sure she can't make a ton of money as a DJ, but maybe she does because her apartment looks really nice.
Yeah, her apartment's awesome. She also has a weird doll collection, which is never explained.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, that's really bizarre.
Yeah, so there's that, and also, like, yeah, they don't really do anything with the money.
Except run away from some unknown person.
Yeah, but it's, like, a criminal amount of money. Yeah. It's super shady. Why
they don't even know it's supposed to be Johnny's.
Yeah, they don't know. So it's just, like, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you go to the police and be like, I don't know what the fuck this is? Because if, I don't know, if you were caught using, like, that money with the same serial numbers, like, you're going to prison.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah, they basically decide to run away.
The plot made them, essentially. Plot made them disregard all reason.
Yeah. Well, first they take it with them. They're, like, gonna go somewhere, and then while they're out, those dudes, like, ransack her apartment, and they come back and find it all ransacked, and they're like, oh, shit, now we have to run away. We have to find another place to stay. So they make the rounds to all of E's exes, which is kind of comical.
It was pretty comical.
They're all like, no. And then they end up at E's parents' place.
Yeah. E finally, like, because they don't know where to go, he calls her mom and says,
meanwhile,
like,
Johnny's
hey.
Calling her every 5 seconds, and she's not answering.
Yeah, so suspicious.
Yeah.
As fuck.
Well, she told Matt that she wouldn't talk to him that day because it's his birthday. He didn't want her to. He was like, why don't we just ditch that asshole? which was my question too.
Oh, true.
And
that's true. I forgot about that.
And he's
that.
Like, it's my birthday. Can we just have one day where we don't talk to him? And so I guess maybe that's why she's not answering. But like with all those calls, it just doesn't make any sense. Eventually she answers that night or whatever, like after she's had a big fight with her parents and sort of made up with them. I don't know.
Yeah. I thought it was super interesting because when she gets into the house and she sees her parents, her mom says, "Red hair, why did you do this to us?"
What?
About Matt. Like, she looks at Matt, and she's, like, disgusted by him. And she's,
you know,
like,
what?
So upset that they're married.
Yeah, okay. This is one of my biggest issues with the movie is the fat shaming.
Oh, my God, there's
because
so much.
Because everyone fat shames Matt.
Yeah.
And it's really not okay. Like, even E does it.
Yeah.
When he, like, eats an extra fry in the restaurant or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, no wonder you can't keep the weight off. And it's like, dude, I don't know. Like, why did they even write it that way?
Especially,
because it's not funny.
Especially in, like gay men culture. Like,
I know.
Eating disorders.
And he talks about that,
yeah,
too. He's like, listen, you know, like, I'm not a gym rat like so many of the other gays. And she also shames him for going on, like, the gay chat or whatever, like, his,
yeah,
the app. And he's like, at least people talk to me there. It's like, you know what? Be nice to your friend. He's,
yeah,
nice to you. He's a good person.
Yeah, like, she doesn't realize the struggle he has because,
yeah,
he's not conventionally, I guess, I don't know, attractive for the gay male audience.
Yeah, I mean, just, like, very conventionally. If you're just speaking, like, in quote-unquote ideals or whatever.
Yeah.
But he's super cute.
Oh, my God. No,
and
he's
anyway,
super adorable.
Like, it doesn't matter because she's just so self-absorbed that, like, she can't see him.
Well, also, and she probably doesn't realize how lucky she is because,
yeah,
she's also fucking beautiful and thin,
oh, yeah,
as a rail.
Yeah.
And, like,
she's gorgeous.
Yeah, she doesn't have problems.
Not that you have to be thin to be gorgeous at all.
No, not at all. But it's that idea of, like, she has this privilege,
yeah,
that, like, she can pick up almost any girl in the club and just make out with them, and it's not anything.
Yeah.
Whereas Matt could, he probably has only done that, like, once or twice. Or,
although,
like,
that blonde beefy dude was really into him. That,
yeah,
was sweet. And,
yeah,
they were kind of together.
Yeah.
That was cute.
But the whole movie is trying to, like, him also find love, too. And, like,
yeah,
that kind of struggle as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
I wanted to like E more than I actually did.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, I like Mandala Rose. That's really the only reason. And she looks like Tatiana Maslany.
She really does.
Who's my favorite
human
my
being?
Favorite human. Not my favorite human being on the planet, but, like, definitely my favorite Hollywood adjacent person. Or Hollywood, not adjacent, she's in Hollywood. Anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Point
she
is,
goes to this, to the awards.
Everyone should watch Orphan Black. And if given a choice between Orphan Black and this movie, I think we all know that you should choose Orphan Black. Anyway. Where
I also,
were we?
Well, we were talking about how they went to the parents' house.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And how
he really wants to have some kind of good relationship with her parents.
Yeah, but she goes about it in all the wrong ways.
Yeah, she does.
Because
her parents are also kind of awful, especially her mom.
I know, but instead of being honest with them and,
yeah,
going through so many, I don't know, just she goes through so many lies, and at that,
yeah,
point, like, it's so hard to, like, now she's roped her best friend into lying.
Yeah.
Like, every time she has to go to visit her parents, she has, mm-hmm, to bring her fake husband.
Yeah.
Like,
they have that funny exchange in the car, though, where he's like, do I look,
oh,
straight?
Oh, my God.
And
do I look,
like,
straight?
No. And then he, like, does
something
else. He adjusts something. He's like, how about now? And she's like, no.
He's like, do
he
I
takes
need
his bow
tie
off.
Yeah, he's like, do I
and
need
she's
to lose
like,
a bow tie?
No.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, the mom is like, what the hell? Mm. And she makes some comment about, like, how they had to get married and, like, rush something very fast. So it sounds like maybe the parents didn't see them get married or something like that. So,
oh,
it could be part of the lie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they didn't have to legally actually
get married.
It reminded
me a little bit. There's this book called Marriage of a Thousand Lies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by S.J. Sindhu, I think. Pretty good book. But, yeah, it's kind of the same thing where, like, I think the parents are maybe Sri Lankan, and the woman who's the main character and her husband are both gay, and it's like this marriage of convenience where they basically, like, show up for each other's parents.
Got it.
Anyway,
yeah,
good
that's
book.
But yeah, that's essentially what they're doing.
Yeah,
it's like they're just really good friends,
except it's just her parents.
It is just her parents. You're right. Yeah, the next thing I wrote is Ian and Johnny have a strange relationship, and I was like, for some reason, she wanted to stop clarinet for him, essentially, and what he could offer her.
Yeah.
And I didn't
think of it that way, but you're kind of right about that. I thought of it more as like, oh, it's a job, and she kind of just got roped into this weird thing with him.
I think it was kind of like shame from not being able to pass her exam, so she did something that she was good at, which is going and DJing, which she is very good at, and she is talented, but it's like she didn't really want to try again with the clarinet in case she would fail.
Yeah.
So she's definitely afraid of failure.
Yeah, like the clarinet and Trish are like super closely linked in this movie.
Yeah.
It's like all the flashbacks are set to clarinet music, and Trish really loves when E plays the clarinet, and it's just, yeah, it's like super closely linked.
Yeah.
She's upset when E is like, I'm not going to play the clarinet anymore. And
yeah, E loves Mozart, and she listens to his like clarinet. Mm-hmm. One of the songs. And she plays it a lot in the car. Matt hates it.
I know, it's pretty funny. He's like, your boy Kenny G is terrible. And she's like, that's Kenny insulting. Kenny G
plays a saxophone.
Kenny G plays a saxophone.
So in their scheme, I don't know, they don't really have one, to find a place to go after they leave the parents' house, they go to
They leave the parents' house because Johnny, she finally picks up the call from Johnny, and then they realize that the money is his, and he knows where her parents live. And, yeah, so Trish is, like, their last resort. Yeah. And she lives out on this beautiful farm on the outback by herself.
By herself?
I guess her parents maybe passed away or something?
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, and so she's, like, trying to manage this farm. And I wrote down that I'm 200% here for farming lesbians plus the outback scenery.
You are a farming lesbian.
I am. I used to be. I don't really do it anymore. But did for a long time. Also wasn't out at the time, but
doesn't you have mean... You have an awesome shirt about lesbian
farmers.
I do. Farmers.
It says, America needs more lesbian farmers.
Which is accurate.
It's my motto.
Why not?
And also Bev is kind of one of my favorite characters, but we can talk about her later.
Oh, the pilot lady. Yeah, like her neighbor or something. Yeah. Or like someone in the town.
Yeah. Love her.
Yeah, so she's all alone on this family farm, which I can only assume is, like, such exhausting work.
She has a dog. Tiny.
Yes, that dog. The Australian Shepherd, I assume. It's an Aussie Shepherd. It's so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I like that Matt and E just start helping out. I mean, because Trish is not happy that they're there.
No, she doesn't want them to stay. No. When E goes in and she's like, listen, I'm desperate. And Trish is like, I don't care. Like, we're done. And then Matt goes in and kind of convinces her.
Yeah.
He's like, we need a place.
Yeah, so she lets him stay a night or two. Yeah.
Gorgeous house, too.
Oh, yeah. I like that E ends up helping out by building a fence, which is, like, one of the hardest things you can do.
She also fixes the tractor.
Oh, yeah. Gay.
And then, yeah, and then she, like, rides it, and she just, like, gives it this little look like, I fixed it.
Yeah. Yeah, so she definitely does, like, charm Trish.
Yeah.
And they have sex pretty quickly into all this. But, I mean, they used to be together. Right. So there's a lot
of... Yeah, it seemed like they had a pretty long history. Yeah. And that sex scene was awesome. It was great. And actually, I went to an entire panel at Klexicon about filming lesbian sex scenes. And Mandala Rose was on that panel.
Nice.
And she was talking about this sex scene. And she was like, yeah, it was super choreographed. And I was like, that's really interesting, because it feels really natural when you're looking at it.
Yeah, I thought, like, I said it was pretty sweet.
And yeah, it was really sweet, and, like, I felt like it was what I would have wanted out of Below Her Mouth, except didn't get it.
Yeah, and just, like, how they, from what angles they shot at and stuff like that, it was, it wasn't, like, necessarily focused on the bodies.
Right, yeah.
It was more focused on the people. I'm not sure how to really explain
because,
that.
Because, I mean, obviously you see the bodies, and, like, you see what they're doing, but it's, like, I don't know. It just was, it was, like, really tender in this nice
way. Yeah, it is, and it was, like,
And you're kind of invested in it, even though the characters, well, I was more invested in these characters than the Below Her Mouth characters, but, like, even though you maybe don't really get why they're doing it. But anyway, But, yeah, so the reason they broke up, I think, like, eventually, because they were having sort of conflict around the clarinet thing and around the parents, and in one of the flashbacks, which was a really cute flashback until it turned bad, but they were, like, cuddling in bed, and the mom called, and E was talking to the mom, and the mom was like, oh, we're going to be in town. Can we stay with you? Yeah. And she's like, oh, yeah, Trish, my flatmate, is going to be out of town that weekend, aren't you, Trish? And Trish is just like, I'm sick of this. Yeah, like, so I can't be your secret anymore.
Yeah, she just got kicked out of her own house, yeah. Essentially. Like, that's super fucked up.
Yeah.
I was really upset when that happened, because she could have easily just said something like, oh, I'll see what Trish is doing that week.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and messed up.
I was thinking about this a lot, because I used to date someone who was kind of like E in that she... Her parents were really religious, conservative, and she just really didn't want to rock the boat, so she just knew she was never going to come out to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we never got that serious where I felt like Trish did, where I was like, I mean, we didn't live together or anything like that. I never was, like, kicked out of my own house. But I just, like, from that perspective... Because I did feel frustrated. I was like, you have a right to be yourself. Like, you don't have to. She would also hide, like, her earrings and stuff when she would see her parents. And just, like, Trish covered her tattoo. And
yeah.
I don't know. Like, part of me was annoyed at that. But I also totally get it. Because sometimes it's, like, not safe. And it's not, like, it's so complicated because you love your parents.
Yeah. And I think definitely you should only come out if it's safe. But right. I feel like, this is so complicated because...
It is really complicated. Because it's your parents, and, like, you want to make them happy, and you love them, and you don't want to be rejected by them. And you might know that, yeah. At least for a while, and maybe forever,
yeah.
If you tell them, they're going to reject you.
Yeah,
and
I think...
And that is really scary.
Yeah, I think it's hard for me, and I need to remember, because I'm not super close to my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I joke that I talk to them quarterly, if that, to be quite honest. So for me to be like, if you're an established adult, and like, it's not like housing isn't a situation where
right.
like you need to be worried about like you're losing your housing because your parents kick you out or
right,
whatever,
right.
You should be able to tell them. But it's also like, you know, you have a, for yeah. those that do have a very close relationship with their parents,
mm-hmm.
the idea that your parents might reject you and you'll
lose... Like, even if it doesn't mean yeah. that you're going to be homeless or, like, whatever.
That you'll lose this huge yeah. part of your personhood and who you are and mm-hmm. who you are because you're raised that way.
Right.
By your parents. So, yeah, you kind of can lose this part of your person. And I understand that.
Yeah,
but also, she's
too.
A fucking adult.
Yeah. And she really, like you said, like, she could have said something like, I'll see what Trish is doing that weekend, or,
yeah.
you know, like, instead of just blatantly saying in front of her, like, oh, yeah, she'll be gone.
Yeah, because like, she's making a decision for
yeah,
two people.
Right.
And
it's
at
not
the
fair.
At the very least, and I understand, like, if I needed to date someone who was still in the closet, mm-hmm. I would, you know, you just have to be cautious about it.
Yeah.
Because her not... even just as a roommate, you know,
yeah.
even if she was just straight up a roommate,
yeah,
just
yeah,
saying,
even if she was, it's still not like you still
yeah,
can't
I need
just
to see
say
what,
she's gonna be out of town.
Yeah, I need to know what so and so is doing that week,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know, but I think like you know, I say that now, but in the moment, you're so nervous that
totally, yeah,
you just
yeah,
whatever.
I see both sides of that for sure.
Yeah,
plus but, she was wearing a really cute popsicle shirt in that scene, which I really want. But anyway, that's beside the point.
Yeah, and then Trish calls E a coward.
Yeah.
Which I think in the moment we can all
mm-hmm.
say that, but as we just discussed, like,
yeah.
looking back on it, I can see why E did the things that she did. I wish she didn't.
Yeah.
but after they have sex, the only thing I wrote was Trish folded really fast and let E back in.
Yeah.
Because she, like, she was putting up such a front.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm, like, it's done, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
And then it was, like, nothing.
But she just... does, later when she's talking to Bev, she's like, she says something like, my brain is saying, like, stay away from her, but my body is just, like, can't.
Yeah.
Like, it just is drawn to her, and it's like I need her or something like that.
Yeah.
So she's E is Trish's weakness, apparently.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely the case.
There's plenty of reasons why they shouldn't be together. But they're also so cute.
Yeah.
And they're dressed in flannel. they're just the gayest.
They, what's also gay, is that they fight immediately the morning after yeah. they have sex.
Yep.
And I'm not, that's completely a joke.
It lesbians, is, it's okay.
Lesbians don't fight after sex, that's not what it's like.
Not always, anyway.
Not always, but you can tell, like, for them that it, like, in their overprocessing or lack of communication, I should say, they're not even overprocessing
it's like,
it.
It's like both, almost.
Yeah.
Typical gays.
E says something to the effect of, like, she tried her best to, like, I don't know, be her best person. No, you didn't.
Like, what are you talking about?
And Trish is like, no, you didn't. And she gets pissed. And I would, too. I'd be like, no, you fucking didn't. You didn't even, no, you didn't try.
Yeah.
But they make up again the next day.
Yeah, because.
Hashtag lesbians.
Yeah. And also, E fixes the tractor, and then Trish is like, oop, melt.
Gay!
Gay!
Gay! What else happens after that? The tractor thing was super cute.
Yeah. And then they somehow figure out that Johnny's after them.
Oh, right.
It's because Trish goes into town and the woman at the store is like, some guys from Sydney have been looking for you. And she like puts two and two together and she's like, oh, this must be why.
Yeah, why they're here.
Ran here. So she like packs them all this like clothes and food. Like this enormous pack that's bigger than E's body that she's carrying. And then Matt just lugs that whole fucking thing of money.
Just leave it.
And they walk.
There's no bank in the Outback.
Forever. They walk like from dawn to dusk along this rabbit fence thing.
Yeah.
Which reminded me of the movie Rabbit Proof Fence, which is a way more devastating movie than this. And
super.
And they get to like this barn. It's like some old property that Trish tells them about that they'll be safe there or whatever, and they camp out, and Trish comes to meet them later. They take Tiny the dog with them.
Oh yes.
And then Trish comes,
the most important part,
to meet them. But Johnny sees her going up. He like sees someone leaving, and it's her.
Yeah.
And so he follows, but like,
oh, Bev, because Bev like threw them off, and she told them a way to go where they would need a four-wheeler to get to. They would need a car with four-wheel drive.
Oh, right.
Because the car gets stuck, and Johnny is like, fuck it, I'm going on foot.
Yeah.
Alone,
and he just gets to the house, and then he finds...
So he finds
raw meat in the refrigerator, because he sees, like, dog bowls and stuff, so he knows there's a dog. He finds raw meat in the refrigerator, and then he puts some kind of tranquilizer in it.
Oh, and he does?
He carries him. Yeah, because that's how
I thought he was just taking it with him to, like... With the, just to, like,
Well, he puts something in it, and I think it's a tranquilizer because Tiny is, like, sleeping for a while after they.
Rude.
Whatever. I know. And actually, I wrote down, when you make a movie for queers in which an animal is harmed, you are treading in iffy territory.
so true.
Luckily, the dog does not die.
No.
It just sleeps for a bit, and then it gets up and... It's fine.
Yeah, it's not a fatal dose.
No. It's fine. But, yeah, so, I don't know. And he, like, doesn't take any food or water, and he just keeps going.
Like, what is wrong with him? And how is he surviving?
He just, like, finds them. He's in his black skinny jeans, and he just finds them, and then he goes...
Greasy fuck.
Yeah, they're, like, camped out in this barn, and he takes Trish hostage, like, at knife point.
Right, yeah, so he...
After he tranquilizes Tiny... Who's guarding her.
Yeah, so he finally catches up to them.
Yeah.
Holds her at knife point, and E gets a shotgun,
holds it to his neck.
Yeah, and she's like, I will do it.
Yeah, and she's like, yeah. Actually, that part I was like, this is so dumb, but it's also kind of hot.
And this is why Americans love guns. And
oh, God, I know. I really do not condone... Even the existence of guns is not okay with me. But anyway,
but sometimes, like, a hot girl with a gun, you're like...
Or she's just... Fuck. Yeah, or she's, like, threatening a man
in
a way where, like, she really has all the power.
Oh, yes.
And she's like, listen, if you hurt her, I do not want to hurt you, but I will
She will.
And you're like, good.
Doesn't she, like, shoot at something, too? Just because he was like, no, you won't. And she, like, shoots at something.
I think she, like, just cocks the...
Yeah, whatever. She cocks a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, God, she will.
Yeah. But I really don't get... Like, even at that point, they still keep the money. Like, what are you doing?
Also, like, try it. Let's see Johnny lug that fucking duffel bag back. Because no one's coming for him.
Yeah. Okay, so we also haven't explained who Bev is. Because Bev is, like... Trisha's friend,
who's this really awesome. Dyke.
Yeah.
That's what I wrote.
Yes, that's a perfect description. They're, like, talking about their gay woes. It's really cute. And Trisha's like, I just need you to help me get her out of here before she gets herself killed. And Bev's like, oh, yeah, I'm always up for an adventure. And
so cool.
So that's how we know who Bev is. She's going to play some kind of role in rescuing them.
Yeah.
So they're running through this field. Oh, well, they tie up Johnny.
Yes.
And, like, run away with the money. They're running through the money? Yeah, why? Just why? And then Bev lands in a plane.
Because she's, like, a badass.
Yeah. But, like, how did she know to just show up there at that time?
Exactly. Yeah, these are the little things in the movie that I'm just like, come the fuck
on. And where
did
they fly to? Huh. And, like, what were they going to do with the money when they got there? Even though they ended up not taking it with them because...
I don't know. Yeah, so they didn't even take the money with them after all this fucking garbage. Yeah. And Matt had to lug that thing around. Poor guy.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been light.
No.
It looked extremely heavy.
Yeah.
Like, probably 50 pounds. Whatever that is in Australia.
Yeah.
50 American pounds.
Like 80 kilos, 90 kilos.
Yeah, you're into.
Oh no, it's the other way around. It's like
less.
Yeah.
What? Are you sure?
No, I don't know. No, I'm sure because like I think 60 kilos is like 100 and something pounds.
Okay, so it's.
So it would be less than 50 kilos. It'd be like 30 kilos.
Nailed it. We know.
Anyways, I'm good with numbers. Least true thing I've ever said.
Yeah,
I wrote down
money.
LOL the chase because he somehow gets his hands untied and like runs after them. Yeah. I don't know. But then they throw the money at him and they all jump into the plane, including the dog.
Yeah, it seems like they couldn't. Or, like, he went back for the money? Is that what it was?
No, she went back for the dog.
For the dog.
That's right.
She went back for Tiny. Yeah.
She was like, Tiny!
I was truly nervous when that was happening.
She was like, this is how I get Trish to love me. I save her dog.
Well, I was, like, truly nervous about this. I was like, are they really going to leave the dog behind? What about the dog?
Sometimes I go to this lesbian literature book club, and we read Carrie Brownstein's memoir, Hunger Makes Me a Modern Girl. In which there is some very brutal animal death towards the end. And you would not believe, this book group talks about books that involve sexual assault, like really mental illness, heavy mental illness stuff,
yeah,
all kinds of stuff. I've never seen these women just lose it over this animal dying. I was like, it's a cat. Like, I get it, but also... What about all the other shit we read in here that's, like, way worse than this? Because it's about people.
But there's something about, like, an animal that it's...
I'm also not really a pet person. I'm probably the only queer who's not. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
I have an 11-year-old boy. His name is Ren, and he's a chihuahua.
Yeah.
Actually, I was gonna
say, you might want to clarify.
He'll be 11 in 5 days.
Aw. Yeah. I mean, he's pretty cute. The look on the
list. He's gorgeous.
That's pretty, what I meant.
Pretty cute's for a Pretty cute is for a human baby.
Super good looking.
He's my boyfriend. He's my son and my boyfriend. So let's not talk about it.
Yeah, let's not unpack that one.
And my husband.
Anyway. She goes back for Tiny. Johnny is there.
And that's how he kind of gets E.
Yeah, because
don't they have like a tussle?
She drops the gun or something to get the dog, And then he picks up the gun and, like, aims it at her. But then she's just like, you don't want to hurt me. And she just, like, pushes it aside and then gets in the plane.
Yeah.
And then, but somehow all the money ends up flying everywhere. Yeah. Just, like, cash everywhere.
Because they just leave it and then, oh, yeah, doesn't he go to open it? Yeah,
he goes. Oh, that's why. He goes to open it.
He's an idiot. Because he's an idiot.
And, like, the plane, the wind from the plane is, like, making it fly all over the place. Yeah,
all the propellers.
He's gonna chase it all over the field.
Yeah.
But, and that's the last we see of him.
Yeah, thank God.
So we don't know what happens, but we don't care.
But in the end, everyone's happy. Yeah. And Matt finds love.
Matt finds love.
I was very happy to
Trish
see that.
Trish and E are in love, and apparently the parents don't care anymore because they're, E and her mom are performing.
Yes.
She's playing the clarinet, and her mom is singing because her mom's a singer.
Yeah, and I thought that was really cool to see.
And, like, everyone's there and gay and happy.
Yeah, like, they're all in
gay
their element.
Gay means happy.
They're all in their element, and they're all really happy, and it's awesome.
And E looks really cute in that red tie.
Do you like Mandala Rose?
what gave you that impression? I don't know what you're talking about.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I wrote down, love the gay boys and the gay girls and all the gay.
I do love when, the thing that one of this movie did that I really like is having a gay guy and a gay girl being friends.
Yeah,
I don't feel like that happens enough. And because in the queer community, it is kind of polarized.
Totally,
like, gays.
Right.
Gay men have their own bar. Lesbians have their own bar. And it
we don't have bars, really.
Well, in Seattle, we do.
I know, but...
The one, maybe.
Yeah, and it feels like it's dying a little. Just the lesbian bar scene in general is, like, pretty much almost dead.
Yeah, and it has been, like, on on the decline because it's just no one really cares about lesbians.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, and also, like...
Lesbians don't make as much money as gay men.
True.
Because women don't make as much money as men.
And also, I think there's some kind of cultural thing there, too, where, like... Actually, I was thinking about this a lot because I competed in the gay games this summer in Paris.
Oh, she didn't just compete. she medaled. What'd you get?
I got silver in both my events.
In France?
In France. But I have to tell you, it sounds a lot more impressive than it is.
She's an Olympian.
I'm a gay Olympian.
Glimpian.
Glimpian! I won't justify it. I won't, like, say why it's not that impressive. It is impressive.
I can't run. I can't run across this room.
Yes, you can. You can run across this room. It's not that big.
I could. Okay.
Anyway, I just like running. Anyway, the point is, I went to the gay games, and... It was like 75% men.
Mm-hmm.
And the games themselves really catered to that audience. It made me think about cruising culture and like gay male culture versus gay woman culture. I mean, obviously those aren't the only two things, but like they're a little bit polar from each other. And it was like a lot of partying, like all night partying.
Yeah.
Drinking. And to me, as an athlete, I'm like, that's not really why I'm here. Like, I mean, I'm not, like, into that kind of thing anyway, just personally, but...
Yeah.
I feel like if you're there to compete in sport, like, why are you partying all night long? Every night.
Yeah, you should be treating your body.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, still training, preparing, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Not getting hungover, maybe.
Right. Pretty impressive some of the times that these hungover people ran. Or, nice. Like, whatever. There was all the sports. But, anyway, where was I going with that? Gay male culture. Yep. Gay bars.
Cruising.
I read this really interesting article. I'll link to it in the show notes. About this woman who lived in Berlin. Queer woman. She was, like, writing about how she saw queer women everywhere. And they would, like, acknowledge each other. But they weren't, like, trying to... hook up in the same way that, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, sex and, like, anonymous sex or just, like, one-night stand sex has been a really big part of gay male culture, like, historically.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think that's why HIV and AIDS really affected the gay male community, like, more than it affected women.
Yeah.
because you can obviously still
yeah.
transmit STIs and STDs like through any kind of bodily fluid
yeah.
thing. But it was really men who were hit the hardest, the gay men.
Yeah. And I think it's that idea of like kind of like the toxic masculinity mm-hmm. and making it, or our society has kind of deemed it okay for men to be, I'm going to say the wrong words, but like sexually promiscuous.
Yeah.
Whereas it's not okay, it's not yeah. deemed appropriate for women to do that. So I yeah. think, you know,
it's weird how lesbians... some of the stereotypes are true though, because I think especially when lesbians like kind of partner off and they get older, they do not go out drinking anymore.
No.
And they just, like, sit at home with their cats. Which is not true for everyone, obviously. But it's true for some, for like, I feel a lot like, of people.
Honestly, it's the majority. Yeah. I think you're right. There is some truth to that stereotype.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
It's just interesting how, like, there is this really big chasm between, you know, like, stereotypical gay male culture and stereotypical lesbian culture. And so... to bring it all around. It's kind of nice that, like, in this movie, we had a gay man and a gay woman. And they were friends.
Yeah. And
even though she was a bad friend. But
and it seemed like they were able to, at least at the end, like, there was an event where everyone was mm-hmm. welcome. And yeah. it was, you know, it was good to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always like movies where, you know, gay guys and gay girls can be friends.
Yeah.
Because it is super important, because mm-hmm. we do have this shared experience that mm-hmm. no one seems to really discuss too much. It is very sectioned off, and I think it needs to change. A lot of our culture and like what we gay culture in terms of like what we're relegated towards for entertainment,
yeah.
I feel like needs to change. Like the fact that we're just talking about a bar scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, alcohol is such a prevalent
totally, yeah.
part in our culture. And I know yeah. this is way off from the movie, but I yeah. think it's just...
It's okay. It's yeah. spurring some good conversation.
Yeah. And it's just kind of like, yeah, it's interesting to look at the... Because now, I feel like now we're at a spot where we can be critical about our community.
Mm-hmm.
And we can be better. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
there's also a lot towards why lesbian bars are dying. And
yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, part of me is sad about it because I want those spaces where, yeah. like, I mean, I don't know, because we're kind of moving into this, like, post-gender world a little bit. But at the same time, like, gender exists, like, it exists on a spectrum, but it's just nice to have spaces where it's not just cis men.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time, like, I don't drink, so yeah. I don't really care to go to bars that often.
Yeah.
And I'm also, like, super a morning person and not a night person. So I'm doing great in, like, the meeting people, getting out there.
Well, you have like your running groups.
That's true. That's true.
You have your morning activities.
Oh yeah, it's not like I don't have anything going on.
She has no friends. Just kidding.
That's not true. I have a lot of friends. They're really great. They're my favorite people.
I just realized I made it sound like you have no one. No, it is super true. And the bar I'm talking about specifically, at least in Seattle,
is
Wild Rose. And
I feel
I've been
like it's
here,
hanging on by a thread.
Yeah, I've been here 5 years. I do love Wild Rose. I think it's super fun.
The
thing that I find fun about it is the fact that it's for lesbians.
Yeah.
Like, it's not necessarily...
But do you find that it's ever taken over by straight people or
yes.
by other... Yeah.
Yeah, so
see,
I was just going to say...
with it too.
Sometimes a lot of... college guys will in with
gross.
Girls, stuff like that, and it's like, I remember a couple of my friends, and I would just yell, get out, this isn't your space.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not, it's really not their space. That's in the minority, though.
Okay, that's good.
Most people I feel like that I've seen go there are
mm-hmm.
queer women,
cool.
Trans.
Yeah,
trans people.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good. Yeah, I like that it's, like, a dedicated spot for, you know, lesbian, bisexual, pansexual, mm-hmm. queer women mm-hmm. and the trans community.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, I think of it in terms of, like, the bars in Seattle that, like, cater to gay men
mm-hmm.
are a lot bigger. Yeah.
They're way flashier.
Not necessarily, like, cleaner or anything like that.
No.
But, because it's a bar.
Right.
But, yeah, they are a lot bigger. They're nicer in the sense of, like, it's not falling apart.
Yeah.
Like, they have decent furniture. Yeah, Wild Rose, I think,
is in kind of rough shape.
Yeah. So it's just kind of like, you know, it's a Wild Rose is a dive bar.
Yeah.
That sometimes has, you know, music. Oh, well, they have music like every night. But yeah, it's just like going in and I don't know. Any club that has a couch is a little weird to me. Wild Rose has that.
Yeah.
And like, don't get me wrong, I really love that place. But yeah. I've had a lot of really good memories, but I don't know. It's just, it's interesting to think about in terms of when you compare it to, like, a gay male club.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not at all faulting Wild Rose or any lesbian clubs.
No.
There used to be one back home in Rhode Island, too, that was like that. It was actually a gay club that just had a lesbian night.
Interesting.
But it was torn down for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I know that back home there's no, like, lesbian club. There's just lesbian nights. And I think it's because we're not a lucrative group.
Yeah.
We're not a lucrative group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of reasons behind that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with lesbian culture.
Yeah.
And our own patriarchal economic society.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my rant.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah.
Oh, also, going back to the film... I just noticed something. Trish had cancer?
Oh, yeah. That was mentioned for, like, a third of a second. And then she was like, oh, yeah, I've tried beating cancer or whatever. And that was it.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't talk about it other than that. Yeah. That's
so
why
like,
I forgot about it. Because it was, like, just a split second.
It was out of the blue and then never explained. Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Maybe that was an editing issue. They might have had more of that storyline in there.
I would assume.
Yeah.
But, like...
But yeah, like.
But also, like, makes me think, like, this was a pretty good, like, shot, pretty good film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure it had the, like, why didn't anyone catch that?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff, like, really irritates me, because I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
yeah.
But I think also, like, it's probably a budget thing, too, in terms of, like, how many people can be working on it, how much time they can spend working on it. And, you know, like you said, we're not the most lucrative all the time, and we don't get a lot of funding a lot of times.
Yeah, we barely get any, which movies. I think is, it's going to be a theme that we see, is, like, a lot of trashy-looking movies.
Totally.
That we watch, because...
We should watch Girl Trash.
I love Girl Trash.
That movie's so stupid.
No!
It totally, you gotta be...
It's
you gotta
cheesy.
Admit. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's.
I guess that's what I meant.
It's cheesy, but did you see the miniseries before?
The miniseries?
Before that?
I saw...
There was a whole YouTube series, like, several years back about it.
Where she was pregnant, right?
She was pregnant.
Spencer.
I don't know.
Wait, are we...
I'm not talking about South of Nowhere, no.
Oh, it's just the same actors, but different characters.
It's Girl Trash on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
From, like, 2007.
Well, I know what I'll be doing tonight.
Okay,
actually, tonight I'm going to watch Wynonna Earp because I need to catch up on that.
Anyway, when we talk about Girl Trash, I'll bring all that up.
Okay, sounds good. We should do that next time.
I was obsessed with that YouTube series.
They were at the first Quexicon, those two actors. And then I saw them at the airport, and that was fun.
The young ones?
Yeah.
Whoever
played
Ashley
Spencer and Ashley.
Yeah.
Especially.
Especially. God. I mean, they've been here for this community, so.
Yeah, they're cute.
Anyway.
I think one of them's, like, super Christian now.
Oh.
But anyway, it doesn't matter.
I did not know that. Interesting.
You can be gay and Christian. You can be...
You can.
You can be happy about gays, not be gay, still be totally accepting, and be Christian.
Wow.
I think.
Crazy thought.
Not sure, but
wow.
Sure.
Wow.
Okay, anyways.
Crazy.
I've been going on a lot of tangents today, so maybe we should wrap this up.
All right. So if you have any thoughts on anything we've said, the various rants that we have gone on. Email us at galpalswatch@gmail.com. We're also on Instagram at galpalswatch, Tumblr on galpalswatch, the podcast, all one word, and Twitter,
galpalswatch.
Galpalswatch. Hit us up. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. Please rate, review, subscribe.
Everyone says that, but there's something about an algorithm that we don't understand, or at least I don't understand, but it helps
honestly,
to get us into more people's ears.
Yeah, honestly, just clicking that five stars or whatever you want to do. Please,
yeah.
Please five.
Five would be good. It doesn't have to be five, but could
you know,
be.
You know.
It could be. You could consider it.
You could consider it. And just writing something, I think that is something in the algorithm that gets more exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I have clicked five stars because I love myself, I'm definitely not
you
up.
You should love yourself.
I'm definitely not up for writing a review about myself. So.
All the
I'd rather you guys do it, who are the actual followers and listeners, as opposed to saying, like, Alicia's so funny. She's so funny.
And Sarah has lots of friends.
Lots of friends. We are rolling in the friends.
I have at least one friend. It's you.
What a good joke. Anyway. Thanks for joining this crazy circus.
Yeah. Hope you have a great day.
Yay!
testing
testing. Okay, this is the level where I should speak, I guess.
Cool. Okay,
cool the beans. Let's go that way. Okay, hello.
Hi. Wait, are we starting now?
We can when you're ready.
Okay.